You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by Warp Zone Video Games and Beyond. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that used to do like this alphabet motif, but we ran out of things to say. I'm Cody.
I'm Josh.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you all. Thank you all for tuning in. Bunch of news, but before we do that, let's get into some things we've been checking out. You know the drill.
Yeah, this is the format of the show.
You know what? I could start real quick. And Cody, I bet you can tag in on this. I've been playing a lot of Dragon Quest VII. Yeah, Dragon Quest VII finally came out for the 3DS, and I've been playing it quite a bit.
Yeah, I haven't been playing it as much as I could, but
well, same here. Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoying it.
Yes.
I think I've put about 8 hours into it.
I'm about 15 into it. And it's a Dragon Quest VII is a remake of an old PlayStation 1 game, and it was like, the game's like 100-plus hours long. That, and that's if you're flying through it.
Yeah.
It is incredibly, incredibly long, but really, really good. It's an RPG, and I love it. It's probably one of my favorite games.
Yeah, it's you know, the when you think of a JRPG, it's that. It's the exactly what a JRPG is.
Yeah, it is a capital letters RPG.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, it's an incredibly slow burn.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
you
God.
Don't get your first fight until, like, 3 hours into the game. At least.
Yeah, there's a lot of just walking around at the beginning.
Yeah.
The beginning is pretty awful.
Yeah, but they did do a lot to speed it up. Those little black screen cutscenes that they do, those weren't in the original game. So that was all situations where you would have to just walk back to get to where they are. They cut those out.
Yeah.
And that's good.
And they give you a couple Chimera wings, too, that I don't think they did.
Same here. Yeah, same here. But no, I'm loving it. I am just now to the island where you start to do job classes. And that's when the game really, like, opens up.
Yeah, because you get the you can customize your team at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I dare say that I think I've enjoyed the Dragon Quest series more than the Final Fantasy series.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree. Yeah. I'd agree.
You dare say?
I dare say. Well, I'm just saying, I know there's a lot of fans of, you know, Final Fantasy out there.
I think that is a very controversial opinion, but not in this room. I think we're all Dragon Quest fans.
Though I will say, I do really like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah.
That was probably another
one. I love Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I've been trying to play through all of them.
Yeah.
But I'm a bigger Dragon Quest fan than Final Fantasy.
I tell you, the only thing about Dragon Quest that I didn't like in the original games, you didn't see the character models during battle. It was just, you see all the monster.
Yeah, just the lineup of the monsters.
But in this game, you do actually see the character models when they attack, and that little tiny change was like, okay, perfect, this is good. The only change for the remake that I don't like is the names. They've changed some of the names.
They changed the name, like monster names?
Changed monster names. They've changed town. Like, all the town names are changed.
Huh.
They've changed a lot of the playable party members. Like, the wolf boy. In the PS1 version, his name was Gabbo. And that's the version I know. And this one, his name's Ruff. And it's a little tiny thing. It's kind of annoying when you know the original game. And
I didn't know they changed the town names.
Oh, yeah. All the town names are changed.
I know they changed the monster names because they used to not be uniform through all the games because of different translators and stuff, but now they're uniform.
Yeah. And that's okay. That's fine, I guess.
Oh, man. Do you remember back on the PS2 when they brought out that slime controller?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For Dragon Quest VIII?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Everybody likes VIII the best, but I think the people that like VIII the best don't know Dragon Quest well enough to actually make that decision.
Okay.
Yeah, that hurts. No, I like it. I do.
It's the most Final Fantasy of all of them.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And that's why people like it, because they don't know Dragon Quest, they know Final Fantasy, and that's why they like it the most.
But no, I've been really enjoying the game. I think 7's a really, really solid and worth the money, because you're going to be putting a million hours into it. I mean, it's just going to be nonstop.
Just be prepared to just push through that opening, because
that is tough.
I thought the opening to Twilight Princess was slow. This is leaps and bounds slower.
Oh,
than...
But once you get the boat, and once you get through the first couple islands,
once you actually get to participate in a battle,
mm-hmm. yeah, Cody, you played 7 before, haven't you?
Yeah, but it was a way long time okay. ago. Yeah. I didn't even remember the Wolf Kid
okay.
existing.
Yeah. No, the Wolf Kid actually becomes one of your more powerful characters. I also just lost a party member, like, permanently. So, ooh. Yeah.
Don't spoil it.
I won't.
Because I don't remember.
Okay.
But or I might not have ever got that far. I don't know.
That could be. I mean, it is, like, right before where I'm at now, so... But no, I've been enjoying it. And that's pretty much it. I've been playing that, and I've been working a lot. That has been my week, so...
Yeah, I've had a lot of homework lately, because school's fired back up, but... What was that show we watched last night?
The Good Place.
Yeah. It's got Kristen Bell.
First off, it's by the guy that made Parks and Recs.
Oh, that's good.
Michael Schur, I think is his name. And it's about Kristen Bell... Her character, Eleanor, something weird last name, gets into what is basically heaven, except it's called the Good Place.
But it's like super, like only like the top best people
okay.
get into it.
Yeah, it's in this version of reality of the afterlife, almost nobody gets into heaven. You have to be super good.
Okay.
And everything you do in life has a point value attached to it that either goes down or up type of thing. But she gets in completely by accident because in her living life, she was an absolute garbage, terrible person.
So it's like an accounting error?
Yeah, they haven't figured out why she's there yet.
Huh.
But somehow she got into heaven in place of somebody else. Maybe not. If that's still a mystery to be explained. But it was pretty good.
It's got Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
he's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah, he was funny. And he's like the architect of this neighborhood in The Good Place. Yeah,
so we don't know if he messed up or...
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's kind of just kind of losing it because he messed up and he's not...
Because this is his first neighborhood, that's what they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that he designed.
But like weird... Like every time... Everyone has a soulmate.
Well, everybody in the Good Place has their actual real soulmate with them.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, to make it the Good Place.
Oh, okay.
But every time she does something kind of...
questionable?
Yeah. Stuff starts really messing up in the neighborhood. Like, she was stealing like, these huge shrimp and stuffing them down her bra at this person's party. And like, next morning, there's like these huge giant shrimp and... floating through the air, like destroys
a giraffe or something. I forget what the insult was.
It's like
but there was giant giraffes storming through the neighborhood, wrecking everything. So every time she is terrible mm-hmm. things happen.
Oh wow!
But her soulmate is this like ethics professor that's trying to help her be a good person so she can blend in with the rest of the Good Place. Is the whole conceit of the show?
Oh, okay, all right.
It sounds weird.
It does sound. Yeah, it does it sound is. Really weird.
It's really high concept for a. Was it on NBC?
Yeah.
For an NBC comedy,
huh?
But it's pretty funny. There's a joke you can't swear in The Good Place, so she says instead of like dropping F bomb, she says fork or shirt, and they kind of lean a little too hard into that. Well, I think
I might be thinking too hard about it, but I think they're trying to show like what kind of person she is. That's... Like she will just. Casually drop the...
Yeah, it might be a character building type thing. But over the first episode, it was two episodes put together. They leaned a little hard into it. I thought it stopped being funny about after the third time. But other than that, it was pretty entertaining. Like, I wouldn't say I loved it, but I'm in for, you know, another episode.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Did you want to talk about Zorn?
Yeah, we can talk about Zorn.
Hey, I watched that too.
Yeah, let's talk about Zorn. Son of Zorn premiered on Fox a week ago.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We watched that. It was really funny.
Oh boy.
Oh, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it was set up to explain the world and the characters. So
yeah.
It wasn't constant jokes, but I thought there was enough in there.
Okay, so for the listener who didn't see Zorn, what's it about?
Like this He-Man cartoon, he's animated He-Man type character, moves to Orange County to be with his son.
Who he hasn't seen in like 10 years.
Yeah, and like it's one of those animation crossed with live action type of things. like what Disney used to do all the time.
Yeah.
But like in their world, like his home is like this island nation.
Yeah, and everybody there is animated, and yeah, it looks like exactly like He-Man.
Okay, cool.
All the characters have dumb names like He-Man. Like, there's Headbutt Man. Is one of them.
I mean, his son's name is Omegulon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his mom and stuff just call him Al or Alan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like all the jokes that would have landed were in the trailers.
Yeah.
Pretty much the whole first episode is in the trailers.
Yeah, but I still liked it. I mean, I still found it entertaining. I liked the character development they did, the way they set up Zorn as being completely self-centered, but he starts to turn it around for his son.
Kinda.
Yeah, when he gives him that bird that was in the trailer.
Oh,
he gives
yeah.
him the giant war bird.
Yeah.
But, like, his son's actually kind of into this having this bird, and then his dad is finally listening to him because he doesn't want to ride the bus anymore.
Yeah.
To school because it's embarrassing. So he gives him this bird, and his son's kind of into it because he's listening to what he wants.
Right, yeah.
But then, like, mom's like, no, 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 no. And so then he has to kill it.
Yeah.
And that is in the trailer. So, yeah. Yep.
I did kind of laugh a little bit. Like, I want to say about the midpoint of the episode, there was, like, a title card that was much like a He-Man cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Where Zorn's just standing there with, like, the sword above his head. It's like Zorn, something like that.
That's cool.
I think it's only going to get better.
I hope so. I mean, I feel like it was a little, I don't know, kind of underwhelming.
And it just wasn't super hilarious because they had a whole lot of explaining to do.
Yeah. And you can kind of understand that. It's kind of a higher concept kind of
Yeah, like show. The Good Place, it's kind of a higher concept in a doofy sort of way.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get a second season of Zorn.
I don't know.
Does well.
I was surprised that we got a second season of Last Man on Earth, honestly, which is a fantastic and amazing show that everyone should watch by the same guys that did Zorn.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I always get their names switched around because of the character on Last Man on Earth is Phil Miller.
Oh, yeah.
But it's Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
That's it, yeah.
The two guys that did, you know, Lego Movie
right.
21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those funny dudes.
Yeah. I haven't seen Zorn yet. I caught about 2 minutes of it while I was at work. But the animation looks good.
Yeah.
I think it always works better when there's one animated thing in the real world than one real world person in an animated backdrop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And whenever Zorn gives anything to anybody, it is also animated. Because what did he give? He gives his son some kind of whip or like some kind of...
No, it's a brain gouger.
Yeah.
It's like an evil looking ice cream scoop.
Yeah. And it's animated too.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, and the reveal at the end of the episode, it's not really spoilery.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
but
cool.
His son is animated from the waist down. He's got cartoon legs.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because his mom, like, makes a comment. It's like, no, you're nothing like him. And he's like, yeah, I'm nothing like him. And he kind of looks in the mirror, and then, like, the camera pans out, and he's got cartoon legs.
Oh, wow.
But I'm stoked for more of them. I think it set up a good...
Zorn's, like, cell phone, he's FaceTiming with, like, his He-Man buddies.
Yeah, that was some of the best stuff.
Yeah.
Was when
yeah.
we go back to the... I can't remember the name of the country that he's from.
Oh, God.
And they're just, like, always fighting, violently fighting monsters.
He's like, yeah, I'm, you know... I never spent time with my son when he was younger. You know, it was great. And then, like, it pans and his son gets, like, cut in half by some monster. He goes, oh, no, my beautiful boy. I should have spent more time with you. Yeah. Oh, Zorn, I gotta go. My son just got killed. Oh.
I'll be excited for them to reveal what kind of villain that they're up against in that world. The Skeletor of the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that would be, yeah.
You know they will.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The fact that, like, Zorn's ex-wife's fiance is...
Tim Meadows.
Yeah. Tim Meadows. He just seems like a totally chill dude.
He's a college professor, an online college professor. He's like, do I feel emasculated that I'm a teacher that does online courses? Yes.
Yeah, he's like a
I think psychology.
Psychology. Yeah. And he's like, at one point, he's having, like, an online lecture with his class. And, like, Zorn's, like, burning him the whole time. He's like, well, you see, class, you know, there I am being emasculated in front of my fiance again by her ex-husband.
But no, it looks good. I totally miss. Yeah, I need to pick up and watch the first episode.
A weird choice though, because like it premiered like the.
Yeah, it premiered
like, was
one
it last week.
Week. I think it was either last week or the week before, and there's been no new episodes until the 25th.
Well, it was
kind of
like
a preview thing.
Okay, because for whatever reason I thought it was going to preview on the 23rd or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the first actual episode will be like the 24th or something.
Okay,
like
something like that.
It was like a premiere, like early episode.
Gotcha.
It's Fox just messing around with their like animation comedy schedule. And,
yeah.
And screwing over the show like they did with Futurama.
Yeah.
I just wish they would put shows on and then leave them in the same place and leave them at the same time every week so people would watch them.
I agree. But do you think maybe they keep switching it around so that people just go, well, I'm just going to have to keep it on this channel because I don't know when my show is going to be on, so we're going to catch all the people just waiting for their show.
Is that their plan? Because it didn't work for Futurama.
It didn't, but when has Fox ever done anything once and learned from their mistakes? They just keep hammering that idea until, you know.
Well, if you haven't guessed already, I'm back.
You're back. Back from the wilds.
Yes, it was the wilds, man.
That's like, what I hear.
Tell the folks what you did.
Yeah.
What did you do?
What did you do, Josh?
I went on a LARPing camping trip.
Nice.
To Illinois.
The wilds of Illinois.
Yeah.
It was kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
The kingdom of Illinois.
Well, kinda. But,
okay, what's the kingdom called, Josh?
Well, it's hard to say where it's like the kingdom that Indiana and Ohio and stuff falls in is called the Rising Winds. But like Illinois and stuff's
it
really
sounds like a fart.
Yeah. I was gonna say the blowing winds.
Yeah, the breaking winds.
The breaking winds.
But like it's like that area is like really close to like an apex of like three kingdoms.
Okay.
Like Telegor and that's like Missouri and stuff like that, and then a new kingdom that just popped up called Polaris, and it's kind of north a little bit.
That's on 23. It's
yeah.
That's where the mall is.
That's where that good mall and the good rave theater.
Yeah, yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
As you guys are breaking my sphericals here.
Okay.
But I know it was a good time.
Well, you were LARPing, so I'm sure you had your sphericals broken plenty of times.
Actually, no.
Not this time.
You lucked out.
I didn't get cracked in the junk at all.
Good. Good to hear.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
I'm happy for me, too.
I'm proud of you.
Though,
and your future progeny.
Oh, that's probably, you know, long past, you know, expiration date. But anyway, though I did almost get my leg broken.
Oh.
There were 843 people there.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of foam
that's
swords.
That's more than my graduating high school class.
That's more than I think our entire high school. Yeah. in one place.
Yep. It was intense.
In more ways than one.
That joke you said, you go to prison.
Well, I'm going to dig a tunnel.
Okay,
anyway. But no, there was a lot of stuff going on. There were combat tournaments. There was judgings for things that people have made. They had a bunch of panels for, like, you know, history of different groups and stuff within the organization.
Okay.
Some vendor. I mean,
it sounds an awful lot like a convention.
Kinda.
It's outside and people are hitting each other with things.
LARPCon.
And the fact that it rained so much.
Oh, man.
Oh, but it was super muddy.
Oh, it was bad. I like ended up coming home and just dumping all my clothes in the wash.
Yeah.
Just all together. Just dumped.
Did you win?
Did you win the LARP?
My fighting company took fifth.
Oh, good.
Out of like all these other fighting, which is great because we're like a really small company.
Mm-hmm.
You're small, but you're scrappy.
Yeah.
Are we talking about, they're talking about the group. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerk. But no, the culmination of everything, there's like this big, castle battle.
Yeah.
Every year at this thing, it's called Keep of the Borderlands. And there's a, the funny thing is,
there's this little robot. His name's Claptrap.
Shut up. the funny thing is the whole storyline of the event was themed from an old D&D campaign called Dark Sun.
Okay.
Which is set in a desert country.
Nice.
And the fact that it rains so much. Like, so they're like, we're like doing the night quest and like the rain is pouring and I can't see through my glasses. I was like, man, this desert is really arid. as I'm drowning in a downpour.
Yeah.
But
didn't you have like a face mask or something?
Yeah,
for your glasses?
I had a lacrosse face guard. Yeah.
Nice.
Because I got tired of getting my crap kicked in.
Yeah.
Because my glasses are really bent up and misshapen because of it. But no, anyway, there's this big castle battle, and you go through, there's all the players are split up into three teams, two attacking teams, one defending team, and they build this castle out of wood and metal and stuff, and then it goes up and comes down every year, and it has like two gates on it, mm-hmm. and they put a piece of wood behind each gate that kind of holds the door shut, and then there are battering rams, and people like nice. Full force are ramming against these
That's
doors.
That's cool.
It's was pretty awesome, especially when you're inside the castle and you're seeing these doors like give and there's like 15 people on the other side trying to push back. There were a few injuries.
Sure. With that many people swinging that many fake weapons, I'm sure there was some...
Some of it was heat exhaustion.
Well, yeah.
Some people were beheaded.
Yeah.
There may have been, you know, a decapitation or two.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Just some light decapitation.
But the healer, yeah, nearly headless Nick's all over the place.
Yeah.
But it was a really good time. Polaris, being a new kingdom, they had just broken away and kind of formed their own thing. They came and decided to do something weird. They'd built a siege tower.
They dressed in sci-fi gear. They did something weird. Something
they have
that...
like constellations all over their
outfit. Yeah, see, so now that's neat. Actually kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, they built a siege tower, which for people who don't know, it's basically a big rolling tower.
Okay.
To get over castle walls with.
Nice.
And we're sitting there, and I'm pushing back on this door, and all of a sudden, here comes this big blue thing with banners all over it saying Polaris, and I'm like, that doesn't look safe. That doesn't look safe at all. So much the fact that they actually had to pause the game and put blocks of wood underneath it so people could climb.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
I mean, we signed waivers, but we're not stupid.
Yeah.
But that was kind of neat.
I would like to just go spectate one of these.
Yeah.
I posted a video.
Oh, cool.
A guy recorded, like, live streamed to Facebook. It was like an hour long.
Oh, wow.
Should put it on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
If that's okay with the dude.
I you'd have to message him. I don't know.
Okay.
But,
maybe we'll have that on the, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
But it was kind of nuts. I mean, it was amazing. I had a lot of fun. Also, the fact that it's kind of a thing, it turns into a giant drinking party.
Yeah.
I got a little messed up.
Yeah. How's your nose, buddy?
Oh, nose is fine.
Nose is fine?
Nose is fine.
I could, yeah.
I'm not getting into that one.
Good. Probably not.
I'm not getting into that. It was bad, and yeah, I'm not getting into that one.
Okay.
But though I did pass out face down in the dirt night one.
Oh, wow.
All right.
It's amazing what you can do when you're in another state and Everclear is real.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now might be the best time to go to break.
But no, anyway, it was a lot of fun. When the sun was shining, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're cold and in the mud, it gets a little bit.
That sounds a little just bad, miserable to me.
Yeah. A lot of people kind of turned in early when the night that it got real, real, real wet.
Yeah.
I have never seen so many weird spiders. It was a little terrifying for me. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. Do they have brown lacrosses in Illinois? I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you survived it. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, I did. Met a lot of cool people. Saw a lot of familiar people that I know that I enjoy being around.
Cool. Very cool.
Got a new weapon.
Hey!
For free, as a gift.
Hey, even better.
It makes friends, because it's a very firm foam, and it hits like a truck.
Nice.
I kind of like Rain of Fire, like, axe jumped on somebody with it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. And then I died.
And then I was slain by an elf.
Fireball, fireball, fireball.
Yeah. Oh, man. There was like this one game. It was like just a giant like battle in like on open, like in this open field.
Mm-hmm.
There is no point in trying to do the verbal stuff as like a spellcaster because
sure.
No one can hear you.
No.
It was ridiculous. Though I did see some amazing archery shots.
Cool.
Like I saw a dude get nailed in the junk from like... a mile away. Like, you're just sitting there watching this arrow fly through the ground. The guy's not even paying attention. And then he's down. Just,
wow.
Have you seen that video that's been going around on the internet of that lady, like, when she's standing on her hands and she shoots...
like on stilts.
On stilts and shoots an arrow, like a bow and arrow with her feet.
Like, no. I think I have seen that.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty rad. It's weird. Yeah, it's awesome. All right, well, hey, now that we're discussing YouTube videos, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll be back after some music.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by Warp Zone, video games, and beyond. Warp Zone is the place for all your gaming needs, like modern, vintage, and import video games, as well as gaming collectibles. Warp Zone, video games, and beyond is located at 4496 Cemetery Road in Hilliard, 614-219-1997, and Warp Zone on Facebook.
We're back. That was Hit Single by Sonny Chirac.
A classic.
Yeah. To us, it is at least. That was the theme song to Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
A show that is very dear to all of our hearts.
Yes. And that's the reason we played that. And this is kind of a bummer, but I want to turn the conversation more towards the positive stuff. Space Ghost Coast to Coast was a huge show for us. And so was Cartoon Planet. So Cartoon Network late night show.
Kind of before the Adult Swim thing.
It was Adult Swim.
It created
before,
Adult yeah. Swim. And
it was the seed from which Adult Swim grew.
Yes. And the reason why we're talking about it now is there was an animator and voice actor named C. Martin Croker, or Clay Croker. And he was the main animator. Anytime there was any kind of new animation that was needed on Space Ghost Coast to Coast, he would just do it. And he was also the voice of Zorak and Moltar, and he passed away very suddenly over the past week, and it's pretty sad because, like we said, Space Ghost Coast to Coast was very formative,
like
watching,
like our generate, like our age range, mm-hmm. like almost everybody I talked to that kind of grew up the same time we did, we watched it.
Everybody watched Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
I think it was a very big part of developing my sense of humor.
Same here.
Much like Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah.
If I had to list my inspirations
mm-hmm.
for my sense of humor, that would be up right up there with Mystery Science Theater.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. Well, it's one of the first things that we bonded over when we, you know, started hanging out back in high school was we all watched Space Ghost. I mean, that's just what you do. For the people who don't know what Space Ghost Coast to Coast is, it was, in theory, on paper, it was a late night 15-minute talk show that was hosted by
cartoon superhero
and two of his rogues gallery, Space Ghost, Zorak, and Moltar. And it's hard to explain the show, kind of.
Because, they would interview celebrities,
mm-hmm.
but they...
For, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, and a lot of times they would just take the interview and the things the celebrities said probably during a regular interview and just mess with them and have Space Ghost interact with them in weird ways that were funny.
And a lot of times they would take, like, the pregnant pauses while the celebrity was listening to the question and those weird faces that people don't know they're making, but they're making. and use that as the interview on the show and, yeah, it was really funny, and it was a springboard for a lot of comedy, and there are a lot of things today that I say that, well, we sat, before we started recording, we sat and watched the episode where Space Ghost wrote the episode, and I'd forgotten for a long time, I responded to things with saying, you go to prison.
That's where that came from. Which we may have made that reference earlier.
I think we made
it
earlier, yeah. But it was a big part of my growing up and everyone here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember being in like the sixth grade or whatever and staying up late to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I remember going over to my friend's house and sleeping over basically just to stay up late and watch it.
I think I still have VHS tapes in my parents' basement from when I would record it late at night because it was one of those things where I didn't know if I was ever going to see this stuff again.
It was that weird and subversive.
Mm-hmm.
After she moved away, I remember every week, my older brother and his girlfriend and Robin would get home from work about that time. We all sit down together and watch it all.
And it's not because it was necessarily good. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
They were pretty much given the freedom to do whatever they wanted to because at the time, 11:15 on Cartoon Network before Adult Swim, there was nothing on. I think before that, they just ran like old Hanna-Barbera reruns. Yeah. That's
and
all
Tom
they did.
And Jerry.
And Tom and Jerry. Yeah. And nobody wants to watch Tom and Jerry.
Oh, God, no. That's going to make somebody mad.
I don't care. But it was one of those things that you stumble onto and you watch for 15 minutes, and at the end you go,
what happened?
Did that actually happen? Did I actually watch this thing?
Yeah, and they took like clips and stuff from like these characters from these old Hanna-Barbera like cartoons. You know, Space Ghost was an actual superhero back in the day, and just mess with it. And it kind of like started like then they had like C-Lab.
Yeah.
You know, where they did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Aqua Teen Hunger Force came out of an episode.
It was
of Space
the
Ghost.
A Baffler Meal was the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, it started to get weird there for a while too. Like the first seeds of it being weird was that episode. You know that episode where James Kirkconnell would like he was like narrating an episode that happened like 3 weeks earlier while some guy was just drawing.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was a weird one.
I remember that.
And then there was the Space Ghost live action troupe that did like they all performed.
I remember that
an old episode. Yeah, and then well, we were talking about it earlier, the fire ant episode.
Yeah. Where Space Ghost follows a fire ant back to his mother, and it's just like a full 15 minutes of him just walking through this desert planet following this ant.
On his hands and knees, just crawling.
Yeah.
With no audio, that was the joke. That was it.
What was the one I watched recently? When I was off on vacation, I got back and caught a tribute on Adult Swim.
Yeah, they did it. They did a tribute for C. Martin Croker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they did it. They played a bunch of Space Ghost stuff. And I watched one with that one comedian. She was weird.
Judy Tenuta.
Yeah. I think it might have been the first episode she popped up on.
Oh yeah, with her
accordion.
Accordion. Yeah. Yeah.
And she sang a song about having a crush on Space Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And
she digs me.
Yeah. And it was like at one point where like. Moltar and Zorak leave.
Yeah.
And they're like in the elevator and they're like talking to just random people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
And then Space Ghost finds them, brings them back. Mm-hmm. And then.
Well, there was the episode where they kept like taking act breaks.
Yeah.
And because Moltar got on a bus to Jacksonville. So, they were spoofing like the, you know, cutaway, like 15 second, like little cutaway things. I think every named Space Ghost character. Would like go up to Space Ghost and say, "I think I'm pregnant," with the music behind it.
Yeah,
the sting. And oh god, it was just so great. And the show wouldn't be the show without Zorak and Moltar.
Yeah.
And Croker was really talented, especially with Moltar, because the episode with Beck where he had to sing, he somehow was able, because what they did was they would pitch his voice down, so he somehow was able to sing at a pitch that when pitched down would match the music. Like he was just that good. And I think the thing, it's always sad when someone that dies, especially someone when their work was formidable to your development. But I think the thing that's really kind of bummed me out with this whole thing is up until now, there was always a chance. Space Ghost could come back. It could come back anytime. Because everybody, George Lowe still worked for the company. Everybody who was involved with the show still worked for, they all worked for William Street, which is their Adult Swim division, basically.
Yeah.
But it, up until this point, it could come back at any moment. And Cartoon Network's the kind of station that would just, by the way, here's you know, another season of Space Ghost.
I mean, they brought
Ghost.
Back Cartoon Planet there not they too did. Long ago. I mean, it wasn't the same, but I mean, it wasn't bad either.
It wasn't bad. And we'll get to Cartoon Planet here in a second, but, it could always come back, and with Croker gone, it can't.
Yeah. At least it not be the same.
It wouldn't be the same. And I would rather it not come back than have it come back and not be right.
Yeah.
Come back in a pet cemetery sort of
fashion. It came back, but it came back wrong.
If they tried to bring back Space Ghost and fill the band leader position and the producer position with like Brack and Tanzit, they could do it.
Yeah,
and the joke, and it would be funny.
That actually doesn't sound that bad.
I might be okay with it.
I mean, come on, we had the Brack show.
Yeah, we did have the Brack show, but it just—I don't know—it just wouldn't be right, I guess, for me. I don't know.
Maybe call it something else.
Yeah, call it definitely. But going off of Space Ghost for a second, they actually spun off Space Ghost into like a Saturday morning kind of show.
Yeah, this one was for kids.
Yeah. But the same voice actors and a lot of the same kind of sensibilities, kind of not as avant-garde.
It was Cartoon Planet. It felt like if you weren't watching Cartoon Planet, you weren't getting the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They were very much fed into one another. Mm-hmm.
And they had the skits and the songs. Oh, God, Brack. Brack is great.
Yeah, Brack songs.
Yeah.
That I still remember a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, they used to play
they're so
like...
ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They used to play them just as bumpers sometime on Cartoon Network.
They would. Yeah. Yeah. But, man... Space Ghost was so great.
Yeah.
It was. And it was kind of, I don't want to say blame, but I think with the popularity of Coast to Coast kind of brought the character back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because
DC had that little short.
They had that 6-issue miniseries.
Yeah, that little Space Ghost miniseries, which I still have.
I do too.
Because that was amazing.
It was. And they renamed him Thaddeus to go with Tad Ghostle, which was his name. Given on Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Yep.
Like, that Coast to Coast has forever tainted my view of the character. Like, if I see an old Space Ghost cartoon, I just think about
I've tried watching the old 60s Space Ghost.
Mm-hmm. You can't take it seriously.
You can't take it seriously at all.
Not that it was that good to take seriously to begin with.
It was.
Or back when 60s animated Batman teamed up with Space Ghost.
Yeah,
so just, like whenever you see like Brack or Zorak on the original,
it's like that's
it's
not
like,
right.
yeah, that's not the right voice for Brack.
Yeah, yeah. Space Ghost will forever be George Lowe. He is not Don Messick. Don Messick was the original. It's not him.
No. George Lowe. And not to be super grim, but I'm super surprised that George Lowe has outlived.
I kind of am too.
If I was gonna guess which actor
one was
going to
go,
it wouldn't have been C. Martin Croker.
Yeah.
And when George Lowe passes away, that will be a very, very sad day.
It will.
That man is fantastic.
He is. I still remember hearing his ads for the Ren Fair.
Yeah, that used to play on our
Come to the Ohio Renaissance Festival.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, I forgot about those.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, that was just Space Coast
it
doing
was.
An ad for the Renaissance
it, it
Fair.
It was. Yeah, and George Lowe pronounced things weird, didn't he?
A little bit.
Yeah,
he did it on purpose.
Yeah. Are you trying to ruin my show?
Ruin?
But his ability to just dive headlong into these insane scripts they were making.
Oh man, the Kentucky Nightmare episode with the shark.
Old Kentucky Shark.
Old Kentucky Shark. The interview was Willie Nelson. I think they used that Willie Nelson interview like 3 times because they had just given up on the talk show bit. That's actually something I was reading like a big like think piece on Space Ghost Coast to Coast that came out after Croker's passing, and they mentioned that it is fascinating to watch the show now and watch a show slowly become disinterested with its own premise because the first couple seasons it leaned heavy into the interview. Like a lot of the jokes were derived from the interview. And as the series progressed, getting towards its 7th and 8th season, the interviews kind of took a back seat to some of the antics. And by the end of the eighth season, they weren't like, they would just have somewhat like an interview on in the background. Like they wouldn't even, it would just be talking with weird stuff happening in the foreground. And it's just kind of fascinating to see, like, that's where the writers were at. And by extension, that's where the characters were also at. They were writing, the characters were becoming bored with being a talk show. And I think that's really fascinating.
There was a short time where, does anybody remember GameTap?
I do remember GameTap.
The online service that where you could download all the games you wanted. It revived Space Ghost for a little bit, and there's some video game centric episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It just has Space Ghost. It didn't have
the other
Zorak
two,
and Voltar. But it was still pretty good.
It was okay.
And a lot of it you could tell was just George Lowe ad-libbing.
Yeah.
Which is amazing that he can match that same kind of manic weirdness that mm-hmm. the writers did. Like, I saw on Kotaku just recently, they posted a bunch of old interviews from an old E3 with different game developers, and they're pretty funny.
Yeah. That's... Man, I just love Space Ghost so much. I just love the show. Oh, man.
I remember getting really excited when the summer albums would come out.
Yes.
Like the musical barbecue.
And tiki torch, 22 tiki torch, like surf and turf or whatever.
Yeah. Just full of just ridiculous songs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are just bits
from the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it actually got me into the music of Sonny Chirac, who is jazz metal fusion. It's really interesting, really good stuff. Like even the stuff that didn't show up on Space Ghost Coast to Coast, it's really kind of neat, weird music that I really, really enjoy. And it got me into the band Pavement. So
the Beatles.
I mean the Beatles.
We'll be right back with Meet the Beatles.
And then it doesn't cut to commercial. Yeah. He just waits a second and goes, and we're back. That was jolly good. Jolly good.
Oh, God. Should we get into
You are an idiot.
Oh, God. Okay.
You go to prison.
Yeah, you go to prison. The Great Gazoo, everyone. All right, yeah, we've talked about Space
Ghost.
Let's
do the rest of our job.
let's get on some actual factual news here.
Factual.
So let's blow through a couple of these. There's pictures of the Megazords.
For the Power Rangers upcoming film.
And surprise, surprise, they're pretty ugly.
Oh, yeah, they're horrible.
You don't even got to see the whole thing to know it looks like crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just like a corner of each Zord in the Power Rangers.
Standing or sitting on it.
Poses on
them. Yeah, it looks like someone took the Transformer Dinobots from the Michael Bay movie and then melted a bunch of Skittles over top of them. And they're color-coded, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when you guys were talking about them, I said, I'll bet they look exactly like the picture in my head for how they'll mess them up is going to be. And that's how they look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Pterodactyl and the Sabertooth Tiger are... I can't tell what those are supposed to be. I mean, I know what they're supposed to be.
But yeah, no.
Because I know Power Rangers, but they don't look like what they're supposed to be.
Everything has this grimy texture over top of it that looks stupid.
Yeah, it looks really bad. Well, you know what it looks like? The original Power Rangers movie? That CGI bug thing that Ivan Ooze turns into at the end?
Yeah.
It looks a lot like that. Like, over-designed. It screams over-design.
Rise, my mechanical nightmares!
Yeah, some kind of nightmare.
Yeah, I know, right?
But they're just... Much like everything else with the Power Rangers movie, it doesn't look great, and I don't think this movie's for me.
It looks bad, and the people who made it should feel bad.
I agree.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And there's nothing else we could say about it.
Bad job.
Yeah, bad job, guys. You go to prison. Blizzard's Battle.net service is dropping that name and not picking up another one. It's just Blizzard.
Who knows?
It's just Blizzard Tech now, they said.
Okay.
Which, I mean, fine. Like, I always thought that was kind of a dumb name.
Mm-hmm.
It was a carryover.
Yeah, well, it originally launched with, I think, Diablo?
Warcraft 3.
No, it was older than that. I'm pretty sure it was either Diablo 1 or 2.
Diablo 1.
Because they re-released one of the Warcraft games as Battle.net Edition later.
Yeah, because the Battle.net Edition, that was Warcraft 2?
Yeah. So it had to have been before Warcraft 2.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that
timeline
works.
It was probably Diablo 2, because Diablo 2 was the first one I really remember having online player stuff. Because Battle.net was Blizzard's old... online game feature.
Client. It was like how there was GameSpy. It was like Blizzard GameSpy.
Okay. Yeah, it was Battle.net.
And it has existed for a solid 20 years with the name Battle.net.
Hmm. Yeah.
So they've just decided to drop it just apropos nothing.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because it's not a big deal to have a feature like that now. Now that's like something expected.
Norm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's their thing now.
Okay, that makes
sense. It's been the thing forever.
Okay, I kind of get that.
Yeah, it's not like you're playing World of Warcraft via Battle.net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird that they did this right after Chris Metzen, the big lore guy
left.
From Blizzard. Yeah, he retired.
Which, I mean, as much as I don't want to play the WoW games, he did weave immense lore into the series.
Yeah, he's the guy.
Yeah, he's
Mr.
been like the
Blizzard story.
Yeah, he's been the Blizzard guy since the beginning.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe I don't know why he left.
He just wanted to he was just done.
Yeah.
Because he says he's not going to another studio, he's just going home spending time with his family.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's written so many books based in the universes, StarCraft and Warcraft.
His hands are in every Blizzard game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even Overwatch.
Yeah. I mean, he's an amazing storyteller. I mean, you know, say what you will about the you know, World of Warcraft games or whatever, but
yeah, or his obsession with his own character Thrall.
Oh yeah, well I like Thrall.
Yeah, Thrall's a cool guy. That point and click adventure game that leaked that I talked about last episode, that was about Thrall.
Oh, okay, cool.
But you know, it just won't be the same. Like this, I think the storyline will lack severely.
Yeah, Blizzard won't be the same without Metzen.
Yeah.
No. Did you see as a retirement present, they're building a statue on their campus of him holding baby Winston's hand, like the Walt Disney statue of Walt and Mickey.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool looking.
That's really cool.
Yeah, their statue, like, it's, you know, outside their normal building, there's a big freaking orc on a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe part of it is, like, because when Blizzard either was acquired by Activision or they acquired Activision, I feel like a lot of their spirit kind of tainted.
Yeah. Well, look at Diablo 3 and what happened with its launch and how it had to write itself.
Yeah. It took, like, a good many months to get that one figured out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the real money auction house and, like, all that garbage that is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The fact that Overwatch seems like it should be free to play, but it's $60. I'm not, and that's not a jab at the quality of Overwatch.
No, because Overwatch is a good game.
Amazing game, and it's worth paying $60 for. It just kind of has the...
And the fact that it still has microtransactions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Granted, it's for cosmetics, things that you don't need to be better at the game or to win. Yeah,
and you don't have to buy characters, and they come out with more characters without charging you for them.
Mm-hmm.
At least for now.
At least for now, yeah.
For that Activision hook gets in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, that's Blizzard talk.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much I knew about Blizzard or how much I really, really like Blizzard's output till recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was always a fan. I mean, like, The Lost Vikings is one of my favorite games of all time.
They're like the PC's Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with
in
that.
In a way that their games are super polished and always pretty good. If you buy a Blizzard game, you're going to enjoy it on some level.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I could still get into WoW now and still have fun for at least a month.
I take that back. I had a free trial for WoW, and I went back and played it, and I hated it. But I used to love it, but I'm burnt out on it. It's not their fault. It's my fault.
Yeah.
It's not them. It's me.
The fact that they're still the titan of the MMO world that they are now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as many users they've lost,
They actually gained a whole bunch from Legion, too.
Yeah.
Which is astounding. I never thought it would pick back up, but they actually gained a lot of people.
It feels like there's always that ebb and flow each time there's an expansion that comes.
Yeah. Apparently this time was extra big, though. I don't know. The time was just right, I guess.
Who knows? Yeah.
Let's move on to something else.
Yeah. Well, before we move on, should we ask the guy on the lawnmower if he has any anything he'd like to add? Because...
Was it picking it up?
Oh, it was.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So...
That was Scott's talk, sponsored by Blizzard.
Yeah.
Scott's lawn care.
Nice. Okay, let's blow through these. There's a picture for the new Jumanji.
Meh.
Yeah. I feel meh about Jumanji reboot or whatever it is as a whole.
I think everything that needed to be said about a movie about a board game...
That
becomes real. I think it was said in the first movie.
Yeah.
You know, and so. Jumanji 2, Zathura.
Which is pretty terrible.
That's a bad one, too.
Yeah.
Shepard, Spaceman.
Dax Shepard and Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
I feel like, as much as Jumanji was not a good movie.
That was a good movie.
It's decent enough.
It's okay.
Robin Williams makes that movie.
Robin Williams makes that movie.
He does.
And I feel like any continuation of that is just kind of a taint. And
moving on!
In corruption.
No, you don't need to qualify it. I'm just going to... It was a taint.
No.
Okay, so Pokemon, there's
more Pokemon news.
More Pokemon, because we've got to talk about...
Yeah, continuing Pokemon talk segment.
Pokewatch.
This is Pokecorner.
Pokewatch.
They announced a couple more Pokemon. There's a couple of monkeys.
Yeah, there's a football-playing lemur, which looks ridiculous.
And an orangutan with a fan.
Yeah, psychic.
He's psychic.
Psychic Harambe.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a werewolf character,
There are version-specific Pokemon.
Yeah, if you have Sun, he's like a happy wolf guy. And if you have Moon, he's
a werewolf.
He's a werewolf man.
Yeah. So that's cool.
And you can change your outfit again. You can customize your trainer.
Which you can take, and you don't have to wear a hat. You can be hatless.
Which is fantastic. That's my favorite feature of X and Y. I'm glad they kept it.
Same
here. I was
here.
Worried they wouldn't.
Yep. And they replaced the Pokemon Ami feature with, like,
grooming.
So you can brush them and wash them.
Which, why not?
That makes them happy, I mean, whatever.
Yeah,
Pokemon Ami was cute.
It's that virtual pet thing.
Yeah. And that's cool. It needs something. I guess other than that, I guess going over to the Pokemon Go, the Go Plus came out. I haven't had a chance to pick one up.
Yeah, they're really super hard to get.
They're incredibly hard to get.
But they seem a little better than previously thought of.
They weren't the feature that wasn't being touted leading up to the release of the Go Plus is that it allows the game to be run in the background, which means you can, as long as the little thing is connected via Bluetooth, you can. It's like a pedometer. It'll pick up your walking without having to have the app open and draining your battery in like 15 minutes.
Yes.
So it actually kind of almost makes it worth having the thing.
I mean, if I saw one in a store, I would buy it.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out of my way to pick one up.
Yeah.
But if I see one...
If you bump into it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a Go Plus. I got $30.
Yeah.
We have time for
one
more.
Let's continue on the Nintendo front.
Yeah, let's do more Nintendo.
They have been extra litigious lately with their fan games.
They have.
A lot of really neat, really good, well-made, interesting fan games, which fan games is, it's when a fan of a Nintendo property makes their own kind of like a Mario game.
Kind of like a fan fiction for video games.
And like that really good Metroid one came out recently. I think we talked about
that.
It
was
the
remake
show.
Of 2.
Yeah, it's a remake of Metroid 2, and it's fantastic.
It's really good.
It feels like a real Metroid game.
It does.
Nintendo shot that down, made him take it off the website.
Yeah.
There was a Pokemon one, Pokemon Uranium, and that was also really good and really interesting.
And weird.
Has nuclear-type Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo shut that down. And just recently, they've stopped developing the game, too.
Yeah.
Because after Nintendo made him take the download down, they were still working on it because the game had an auto-update feature built in. But now they're just not doing that for fear of being sued, I imagine.
Probably.
Cease and desist.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I can kind of see Nintendo's side a little bit. Yeah. I can see them being a little...
Well, they also took the website GameJolt that hosts people's games they make. They sent a, not a cease and desist, but the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, a DMCA, to that website and made them take down at least 500 different fan games.
Yeah, and again, I can kind of see Nintendo being a little precious with their IPs.
Because it's all they have right now.
Because it's all they have right now, yeah. And I don't know. I think there's a place for fan games. And as long as the developers aren't
making
profiting off of Nintendo's intellectual property, and as long as the games that they're putting out are not damaging to the public image of...
Yeah, like no, like hentai Pokemon game or something. Yeah.
I was trying to avoid talking about that, but yes, the gross stuff.
Yeah.
But then again, I can kind of see where Nintendo's coming from this too,
because they don't want to set a precedent. Well, I've heard from people who say they're lawyers on the internet said there you don't have to do that thing where you have to set a precedent. Like if you let people make games with your copyright or do whatever as fans, that you have to shut it down, or somebody could do it later, and then they'll say, well, there's precedent, you let these people do it.
And I understand that.
You don't actually have to do that, I've heard.
Huh. See, I'm not smart enough to know about that.
I don't know if that's 100% true or not, but like the Sonic Twitter account, they said keep making cool stuff, because a big Sonic fan game came out recently.
I saw that, that open world 3D Sonic thing. Yeah, that's
and
really
cool. And Sega said, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but what's Sega really got?
Yeah, and again, there's a place for fan games, because that's where a lot of developers get noticed.
Yeah,
the easiest way to get noticed as a game developer is to take something with someone with a character or a setting that is already known, you do something interesting with it.
Isn't that what's his name, Christian Whitehead?
Yeah, Christian Whitehead he made Sonic fan games, and now he's making Sonic Mania, which is a legitimate Sonic game. Like...
Yeah, see, that's the system working, and it's a shame that Nintendo has decided to take this kind of action.
Yeah, against these are really well-designed games by really talented people, and now,
for a love of a franchise.
Yeah.
So what we're going to see is, like, you just slap a different name on it and change the sprite just a little bit and put it back out.
Well, you're not going to
That kind of happened with other fan games. Like, there was that that My Little Pony fighting game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That now is them fighting herds.
Yeah, which was completely different characters,
which looks leaps and bounds better than it was when it was just a My Little Pony fan
game.
And
the fact that Lauren Faust actually helped work on it after it was
designed
shut down
all the characters.
Yeah, by Hasbro.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a weird gray area. Yeah.
I don't think fan games hurt. When I played Pokemon Uranium, mm-hmm. I put a couple hours into that, and I decided, hey, I really want to download Pokemon Yellow on my 3DS now, and I bought it
because
of the fan game.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to hurt them if they let these fan games live.
Well, you try to explain that to them, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
You know, the machinations of giant corporations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 500 get fan games that nobody can get play now because they're just gone.
Yeah, that's a bit
I think the problem is you can get ad revenue from Game Jolt.
That I can understand.
It should just work like YouTube, where if they get a copyright notice, now you don't make ad revenue anymore.
Yeah. So. Well, anyway, I think we were pretty much good on time, so let's wrap it up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can fly over to the Ghost Planet and log on to Facebook at facebook.com/NerdOverloadRadio.
You can email us with any questions or concerns or just yell at us at staff@NerdOverload.com.
Get real mad about that Tom and Jerry comment earlier.
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
Yeah, because you really like the one where they freeze the kitchen and skate around. You can tweet at us at @Nerd_Overload, also with your Tom and Jerry complaints. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV, which also contains episodes of the podcast along with other fun stuff.
That's right. You can also find the episodes on iTunes and Stitcher. So I think that's it. So, yeah, until next week, thanks for listening.
Pizza out.
This show was sponsored in part by Warp Zone, Video Games and Beyond.